This part of the story, Guru has actually written about, and he's called it The Treachery of Ashwatthama, which really summarizes the whole situation at the moment. But let's just have a look at Ashwatthama. He was Drona's son, Drona the teacher, Brahmin, and he had a very impoverished youth, hardly any money at all. Then Drona got the job as the guru, the teacher of armory to the Kuru race, Kuru's Pandavas, and of course Ashwatthama joined in. When he was born actually with a gem on his forehead, and that gave him power over beings lower than humans. In other words, it protected him from hunger, thirst, and fatigue. And so he trained actually with the Pandavas and the Kauravas as one of the disciples, one of the trainees of Drona. And he was categorized as a Maharathi. Well, Rathi is a chariot driver, and they were the sort of creme de la creme of the army. Those involved with the military will know that actually, if you're in the cavalry, far more fun than the scruffs who are infantry, and very much more prestigious. Same with the Rathis, but he was a Maharathi, and he was really up with the top flight warriors. He equated to Bhishma, Drona. In other words, the category, as they traditionally had it within the Mahabharata, was as a Maharathi, you had the capacity, the weaponry to take on, and if need be, defeat 720,000 warriors. In other words, all your weapon, your astras, and so on were able to deal with that size of opposition. And when it came to the war, actually, he went to Drona for a blessing, but Drona wouldn't give it to him. Drona said, no, no, you must win on your own strength, not by blessings. So he was a top flight warrior. And here now he has been appointed by Drona, by Duryodhana, in his death throes as commander in chief of the remaining fragments of the Kaurava army, just three of them. And so I talked about him actually getting ready to go last time and kill off the remaining Pandavas through the inspiration he had of all these sleeping crows being killed by an owl. Well, it was a little bit involved, really, because when he woke the other two up, he couldn't sleep that night. The other two were sleeping, absolutely worn out because of, fighting and things. And he put his plan to them. They said, no, this is, we can't do this. It's sinful. Kripa took the lead, and he sort of placated to him and said, no. Tomorrow, we will actually go to Hastinapura, to the city, and we'll speak to Dhritarashtra and Vidura and see what is best. And also, interestingly enough, actually, what Kripa talked about at some length, he talked about there are only two things one needs to have a successful mission. And it falls in line a little bit with what Guru talked about. He said, you need destiny and you need endeavor. You know, Guru talks about grace. It's no good sitting back, having grace and looking to look after all our problems and difficulties. We have to have self-effort too. And it's the same sort of principle he said to Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama wouldn't have it. And Ashwatthama was determined to go. He said he appreciated what Kripa said, but it wasn't. It had to be done now. And so Kripa tried another tactic. He said, well, it's very good. I'm very pleased that you are so determined to actually kill off the remaining Pandavas and allied forces. But let's rest now. Let's take rest. And tomorrow morning we'll go out and we'll fight in daylight. But he wouldn't have it. So really, he said, well, if you're not coming with me, I'll go by myself. He woke up his horses, he yoked them up and so on, and he was off. Well, the others were pretty dismayed. They didn't know really what to do. But then he was their commander-in-chief, and therefore they felt that they had to give him support. So eventually they too yoked up their horses and left. But he was some way ahead. And as he came towards the Pandava lines, at the entrance, the main northern entrance to the encampment, he saw an enormous great big figure, big hairy figure, hair on end, pretty frightening looking, fiery eyes. He was wearing a tie. Tiger skin round his waist, blood-stained, and above deer skin over the top of him, and around his neck, where you normally have the holy thread, the sacred thread, well, that was a snake, and around his arm amulets, you know, the upper parts of the arm that would have bracelets, things on, were snakes, and in his hand was a trident. and he barred the way. And Schwarzenberg couldn't make out who it was. He thought who it was. He thought it might be Shriver. He didn't know. But anyway, he immediately fired weapons at him, made no impact at all. The arrows just seemed to go into him. So he took a spear. He threw the spear at this great figure. And again, it just broke into bits. So he tried throwing his scimitar, and it went right into him. And then he suddenly thought to himself, my goodness, it probably is Shiva. I should have taken note what Kripa said. So he got down from his horse and chariot and knelt on the ground, and he thought he'd placate Shiva in order to get his powers and be able to do what he wanted to do, annihilate the rest of the army. So he got down and he started worshipping Shiva. And after a little while, Shiva said to him, no, sorry, Shratama actually offered his whole soul. He offered his whole being to Shiva in order to have the capacity to do what he wanted to do and annihilate the rest of the forces. So Shiva actually, after a short while, said to him, it has been ordained that these remaining troops should be annihilated, should be killed. I have always been friendly with Krishna. I've always supported him and his cause in helping the Pandavas. But now that is over. The task has been achieved. The outcome of the war has achieved what had to be achieved. And it has been ordained that in actual fact, these remaining troops will be annihilated. And he gave Ashwatthama a sword. And Ashwatthama felt coming into him the enormous power, the Shiva power. So he felt he was actually all-powerful, and with this sword he could carry out his act. So what he first did, I suppose intuitively it came to him, he went to the tent of Drishtadyumna, the Panchala commander-in-chief, and he was the one, remember, who killed Drona. And he kicked Drishtadyumna to wake him up, and Drishtadyumna, half asleep, got up to attack him, but he thrust him down, and he trod on him, he stamped on him, particularly the throat, trying to choke him. But Drishtadyumna said, no, 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 don't kill me like this, don't kill me like this. Give me a sword, put a sword in my hands so I can die as a kshatriya and go to my place in heaven as having performed my dharma. But Ashwata wouldn't have that. So he kicked him, and he lent all the force of his foot on his throat and killed him. By that time, of course, guards had come, were screaming, but he left very quickly. And right next door was a great big tent with five chariots and pennants and flags and what hop. He thought this must be the Pandavas. So he went in. It was all dark, of course, and he could see the five bodies laying around sleeping. And quickly, the first one he cut their head off, and he did the others, and he came up. But of course, by then, there's quite an uproar, and people were charging around. But he was surrounded at one stage because of his power, and they saw the dripping sword of blood. A lot of them retreated. There was chaos because it's dark. Some were trying to run away, some were trying to attack him. But what he'd said to Kripa and Kritavarman, the other two who eventually caught up with him, they just saw him after he'd seen Shiva, he said, guard the entrances, and anyone coming out, you kill him off. And so, in fact, this is what happened. And after a while, the annihilation was complete. There was real chaos, people running everywhere, sometimes fighting themselves. But his strength could outmatch, and the fear he created at night was colossal. And when he went back to the other two, he said, well, it is completed. And he said, I've killed the Pandavas. But then he realized he hadn't actually. It was the five sons of Draupadi that he'd killed in this majestic tent. And so he said, well, what we must do, we must go back to the King Duryodhana, and we must say to the king, we've done this job, and show him that we have now killed the remaining army. And also what he'd done, he'd actually cut the line to procreate and continue the coronation. There's no one to take over. The princes have been killed. So what he did was to actually take the heads of the five princes, and with them went back to Duryodhana and to say what we've done. He came to Duryodhana. Duryodhana was still alive, only just about. He could make movements. He kept the jackals and the other animals at bay who wanted to eat his flesh. And when they arrived, they told him what what they've done. And so these are the five heads of the Pandavas. And you can see we've killed them. We've now completed our task. He was delighted. He was happy. He said, I'm so proud and happy what you've done. Soon I'll be dead and I can die in peace. But when he felt the scars, he said, he felt them and he pressed them hard and they broke. He said, no. These aren't the scars of the Pandavas. They would be much stronger. These are somewhere else, someone else. And they had to admit this was the case. Well, my time is at the end. Let's see how we get on next time. Thanks very much for listening. Bye-bye.